And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it at Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbert, we welcome in, as he's titled on the stream, Papa Searles. Jeremiah Searles with us, our favorite Husker O-lineman, NFLer, at Searles71_HSKR. You got those clubs dusted off for the Tyson's Treasure Chest this summer?
That's the goal for being back from the rehab, right? So I had the shoulder surgery 4 weeks ago today. So the goal is to be back swinging them by the end of July. I was just doing a little chipping out in the front yard. The wife wasn't happy about it, but whatever. And, you know, just trying to get back, ease yourself back into it, right? Start at the small game, work your way back to the tee box.
Did you get a window?
No, I got those little foam balls. Uh-huh. And then Verman's starting junior golf out of Firethorn this summer. So nice. He's out there whacking them around, too. Kid may have a better swing than me. It's TBD.
Well, you know, you can always push him.
And we heard the story from Verz on Max Butenbach, where he was doing it at age like 3 or 4, swinging golf balls in the backyard. And that's when they figured out he had a good swing, because he was knocking him over into the neighbor's yard and I think hitting the neighbor with his lawnmower.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Masters Week. You got to pull the clubs out on Masters Week, dude. I mean, I just saw the pairings. Some of the pairings are going to be great. Like, I'm all in. Come Thursday, don't call me, don't text me, don't look at me. It's lock-in time.
Are you putting anything on the grill or on the smoker for Masters Sunday?
We haven't got that far yet. You know, I think probably the answer to be yes, but I'm not sure what that may be just yet.
The other answer is we're not invited.
Well, I've been trying to figure out what I'm going to put on my smoker overnight Saturday into Sunday. We got UFC.
See, I don't do the overnight thing anymore. It's too much work.
See, but we got UFC 300 that goes late Saturday night, so I'm going to be up anyway, so I might as well throw something in that can smoke overnight and then wake up.
Yeah.
It's beautiful on a Sunday morning.
I do overnight once a year, and it's 4th of July. I do about an 18 to 19 hour brisket. And that's it.
Mm, that's the
win. That's a win. Well, we're thinking of golf this weekend for sure. We braved the elements last Saturday, which was insane. And you know, try and get Junior out there and see how much his golf swing has improved his baseball acumen. So
we'll
go that route. Spring football, Searles, and a lot going on. A lot of oohs and ahs today with the open session with Danny Kalen, some of the passes he completed. And as you look up close and from afar, just do you like this competition? Do you like the options Nebraska will have at the end of spring here when it comes to quarterback decision making?
I do. You know, I really do. I got a chance to check out practice on Saturday. I was there, got to watch it, got to do a tour of the new facility too, which was incredible. For alumni weekend. But, you know, you just look at the quarterback position as a whole. And first of all, I'm going to start with Harburg. You know, I think Harburg's throwing motion has changed dramatically. You know, seeing it in person, the way that his arm rotates, the way the ball comes out of his hand, I think he's made a lot of improvements and a lot of strides and put a lot of work into that. And, you know, he had some really good throws, put the ball where they need to be. You know, and then the Kalen kid, he still looks young and green, you know, but he's out there slinging it, doing his thing. And then 15, boys, that ball comes out of his hand pretty special. You know, it's hard to ignore. And you kind of want to ignore it as a freshman, right? You kind of be like, oh, you stupid freshman. But at the same time, it's pretty special to watch him throw the football and see the things that he does to do. You know, I think it will be an experience for him learning how to throw in the elements. It's not a knock on him. It's just the wind doesn't blow like that in Arizona. And, you know, so there's a few times he had a guy deep and caught the ball in the wind a little bit. So, you know, that's just a learning experience. But, you know, overall, I think I'm really excited about the quarterback room and the potential that they have going into fall football.
Quick follow, just as you look at the quarterback part of this equation and the offense, what's this jump look like? And I hate going predictive this soon, this early, but you can, you know, put in the quarterback upgrade / improvement with some of the weapons. You also saw the offensive line. We all agree run game is going to be super important. So, you know, is a noticeable jump fair to expect?
You know, I really would like to think so. You know, for me, looking at the offensive line, you've got a lot of guys that have played a good amount of football, right? Ben Scott's back in there. Bryce Benhart's back in there. But the depth of the O-line concerns me a little bit. you know, the guys behind them haven't played a ton. You know, Evan Jenkins is back in the mix a little bit, but still some younger players. But in order for this offense to be successful, especially early on in any, if it's a young quarterback back there, and even with Harburg, the run game has got to get going. You know, and it's a weird thing to look at the run game with Ramir Johnson and Emmett, or not, excuse me, Ramir Johnson and Gabe sitting on the sideline, right? You're like, is this really what our run game looks like? Or do those two guys make a difference? And the answer is they absolutely make a difference. But, you know, Emmett Johnson looked great. I thought Emmett had a really good scrimmage. I think the transfer from Oregon also looked very well. And again, I haven't learned a ton of names. I'll be the first to admit it, because I have a rule: until you're in the 2 deep, I don't care who you are. And so, you know, like, I think the kid from Oregon's going to be a dude. I think he's going to be a player. You know, and it just across the board, you can see some flashes of athleticism at the skill position that we've been lacking in the last few years. The transfers in from Wake and the transfer in from Texas. The dude from Texas looks like an avatar. I think he may have 36-inch arms, so never a bad thing to have a guy like that running up and down the field for you, too. So, you know, for my first experience into this Husker team in the spring practice, I was very pleased for what this offense is going to look like. Predictive-wise, still way too early to tell.
Well, Searles, with you only knowing half the names, you don't know the names till they get in the 2B. Were there any numbers that stood out of being like, man, as soon as practice ends, I'm going to have to look that guy up?
I mean, I looked him up and then I forgot him in the next blink of an eye. I mean, number 18, number 80, you know, those are the transfers in from Wake and from Texas. Like, you can see their true athletic ability on the outside. Obviously, Fedoni looks great. It's good to see him healthy and being back out there too. And then 23, the running back from Oregon. You know, those were the guys that I can distinctly remember popping on me and looking at those guys and going, okay, those guys look like could be dudes in the fall.
Searles, we were talking about this yesterday, and a national college football personality sent out a tweet that teams that are, well, short when it comes to talent and depth on their defensive interior line may go NIL shopping. That said, you know what Nebraska has, not only the now second-year guys that flashed last year, but, of course, Polar Bear and Robinson. Do you worry about people knocking on Nebraska's door?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. You know, I think maybe not as much Ty, you know, because he could have went to the NFL. And I think that at this point, if he was going to go anywhere, it'd be to the National Football League. He's not going to jump ship somewhere else. But you start thinking about guys like Kem Lenhart, Elijah Judy, you know, guys that have played some ball and look like the part. The way it works anymore is all of a sudden you get a random text from some collective that's like, hey, there's going to be a coach that follows you on Twitter at 8:15 on Friday, and then he's going to unfollow you at 8:30 because he followed you by mistake. But if you like this coach, call me back. And it'll happen, and there it'll go. I mean, it's just, I wouldn't be surprised. It's not fair. I don't love the way that the game is right now in the NIL world. But with the young talent that we have on defense, I would not be surprised if there's some poaching that tries to happen.
Okay, so poaching is a thing.
100%.
How good of an experience do you think Nebraska has been compared to that bag? It's not like Nebraska lacks an NIL either.
And I think that's what it is. I mean, I don't think any of our guys go hungry. I'll put it that way. But, you know, at the same time, our defense plays so many guys. Like, none of those dudes are buried on the depth chart, right? And I think that's the number one factor that plays into NIL, in my opinion, is am I playing? Do I think I deserve to be playing and I'm not? Like, all of our young cats played last year, and I don't anticipate Tony White doing anything different besides rotating guys in, keeping them fresh, keeping them moving. So, I mean, yeah, money plays a factor into it, but, you know, we have a good collective. We have a good guy that takes care of our players, you know, so I really think that won't be the issue. And I hope that they built up a good enough culture that you don't want to leave this place, you know, unless you feel for whatever reason you're getting the shaft. But I don't think the staff plays favorites by any means.
Well, Searles, it kind of comes down to supply and demand, as you've laid it out. And Nebraska, with their depth defensively, has a good amount of supply.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other schools that have needs on the interior defensive line that have demands. That's kind of the heart of this issue. I want to get your thoughts, though, from being a guy that's been on the field, that's played against some high-level defensive linemen. I think you said a couple years ago when we talked to you, Fletcher Cox is the best interior defensive lineman you never played against. But Nebraska's got some guys in Nash and Ty that are going to be some of the better interior defensive linemen in the Big Ten, if not in college football. But can you speak for a minute on the importance of depth on the interior defensive line?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, depth at any position, but especially on the defensive line is important because those dudes can get wore down, right? You're asking those dudes that are bigger, heavier, stronger to sprint every play, chase the ball, be disruptive and go. And you want those guys playing at a high level come the fourth quarter. If you don't have depth, your starters end up playing way more snaps than they need to. And then come the fourth quarter, they're gassed, right? When you need them the most, and you need that one more stop, that one more, not let them get the first down so we can get the ball back, so we can go on a 2-minute drill. Like, that's when you need those guys up front to be rocking and ready and snorting and going. But if you've played 70 snaps or 75 snaps as a nose or a three technique, you're just wore down. Like, that's just the way the game is played. So if you can have guys that you can rotate in there, and now that guy's only played 35 or 40 snaps in an 80 snap play, and he's giving you everything he's got for 40, well, that's going to be way better than three quarters of him when it's 70, 75 plays. So when it just comes down to that, the depth there is really important.
Searles, how does it work in the NFL when it comes to rotation and depth with those opposing defenses? I mean, what's the line change like in the NFL to keep the Boses of the world fresh for that fourth quarter?
Yeah, you know, those guys usually go by series, right? So it's like, hey, on every third series, you guys are the backups, you're going to start this series and you're going to give the guys a rest, right? And then, or if it's like, hey, if it's been an 8-play drive after the 8th play, we're going to pull you out for 2 or 3 plays and then we'll send you back in if it's third down, right? Like, it's a lot of that. The starters will play probably about 65 to 70% of the snaps. But usually those guys spell in there for certain series or certain moments in the game when, you know, and the really good teams don't have a giant drop off in those ones to twos, you know, like the San Frans of the world or the Eagles of the world when they had like two lines that were just unbelievable, right? And because as an offensive line, there's nothing more demoralizing or nothing harder to see than when you're like 3rd and 8 on play 10 and here comes the fresh platoon of legs running in there and you're just right, just gasping for air. And, you know, so that's just, it's a good thing to have. It keeps offenses on their toes.
So before we get you out of here, I know we're running up against it. 30 seconds. Who you taking in the Masters this weekend? Who's a guy you're picking to win? Who's a guy you're supporting?
Yeah, I'm taking Scottie Scheffler to win. That dude's playing great golf right now. As long as his putter doesn't let him down, he's super fun to watch. And then obviously I'm going to watch Tiger, right? You got to watch Tiger. I'm excited. This is going to be my first time getting to watch like Koepka, Dustin Johnson, all the LIV guys. I mean, I don't watch LIV because I think it's a joke. Like, so I don't watch it, but I'm excited to see all those guys play again.
Jeremiah Searles with us. Searles, be good. We'll talk again.
Absolutely appreciate you guys. Go Big Red.
It's Jeremiah Searles with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. We'll get more into spring press conferences, some thoughts from Ed Foley coming away after the break here on Hail Varsity Radio.